The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Hello and welcome to The Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Sasha Shipway, and on today's episode, I'm joined by...
Natalie Morris, hi! We've got a great show coming up today.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be talking about whether netball is becoming increasingly physical. And I think it's such an important discussion to have. And it really is a hot topic now following some of the behaviour that we have seen in the Suncorp Super Netball League in Australia. So I think to begin with, I'll just quickly run through like the first example that we're perhaps going to be discussing just to catch everyone up in case you haven't seen it. So... we saw Fever defender Courtney Bruce rip the ball from Swift's shooter Sophie Fawns in round 5. And if you missed it, it is on our Twitter page and also on my Twitter page as well. So both players were going in for a rebound. Courtney Bruce had clear possession as she got her hands to it first. But by that time, the player's arms were tangled. The umpire called for Fever possession. Mm-hmm. But that didn't stop Bruce from using all of her body weight to rip the ball from Fawns with a 360-degree turn, pulling Fawns backwards with her arm kind of stuck in the middle of Courtney Bruce's. It's really interesting, first of all, for the two of us to be discussing this, because I am an attacker, you're a defender. So I think that we should hopefully be able to be fairly well balanced, and I think it's important to have that. Yeah, and you can probably tell by my tone that I did feel like this was entirely unnecessary, and it creates such an important discussion around the physicality of the game and at which point has it been taken too far. Yeah. So go on, Nat, I'd love to hear your opinion on this.
I mean, I feel like, you know, even the way that you describe what happened, the language that you use, saying that, she ripped the ball and all of that, I think is very, like, indicative of, you know, your position and obviously an attacker's position in, you know, that kind of tussle for the ball that I do think is part and parcel of circle defense attack dynamic, particularly at that level. But I think in this case, this specific example, I think the issue is that the whistle had been blown, like the possession had been called. I think there was a bit of a debate whether Bruce had heard that and whether, you know, she was still fighting for the ball and she was in the zone and hadn't realised. So I think to give her that, you know, you might want to give her that benefit of the doubt and think, okay, maybe she didn't hear that call and she was still fighting as though the ball was still in play. But I think just from an objective, like, position, seeing that physicality and the tussle there for the ball, that is what you're taught to do as a defender. Like, you're taught to go for that ball, to pull it in a decisive manner, to do everything you can to win that possession, regardless of who it is that you're against. And as a defender, as a goalkeeper myself, I didn't see too much wrong with what she was doing. And if that had still been in play, I would have been like, absolutely fair play, like, do what you need to do to win that possession, to win that rebound. I think the issue here is what you're saying, the fact that the whistle had been blown. And that is where, if she did know and she continued to do that anyway, just to kind of, you know, get in Fawns' head or whatever it was, some kind of mind game tactics, that is where it's taking it too far and pushing it over the line. Is that a fair assessment, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's true. Like, you know, you and I have both played netball to a really high level. And I'm not afraid of aggression on court or of playing to a high level. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, netball, you're saying netball's too aggressive. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I've played internationally. Like, it's absolutely not too aggressive. I think on this occasion, she did take it too far and she was too aggressive. My biggest factor in coming to that conclusion is the fact that Sophie Fawns had no chance of cleanly getting out of it because her arm was stuck. And like, at that stage, you can cause an injury to a player. And I just think you had possession, the umpire called it, and the ball was going your way anyway. Yeah, it was just wholly unnecessary, especially when you're going to injure a person. And I just think that there's nothing that excuses that behaviour. It really frustrated me to watch that and then to see people come in and defend that because I don't think you can defend that behaviour. And I put on Twitter that I've started seeing it in leagues that I'm playing in, where I'm playing like social netball. And the issue is that I'm seeing this behaviour copied on court where they're literally injuring people in the most grassroots leagues. And I'm like, what are you doing? you're literally going to injure someone who could be out for weeks or months for the sake of just being right in this situation. And it's not safe and it's not fair. And I just think there's absolutely no excuse for that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is a clear distinction there between physicality and determination and having that kind of fire and something that's unsafe, particularly when it's translated into spaces where you don't necessarily have the officials and, you know, the safety structures in place to make sure that things aren't escalating. People don't necessarily have the skills to be able to pull off those moves without causing an injury and making sure that it is safe for everybody on court. And, you know, I think there's a fine line between building that sense of, you know, pushing the boundaries when it comes to what netballers are doing, the physicality, the speed, the power, the elevation, the challenges that we're seeing people go for. And I think the game has progressed so much over the last few years in terms of what we are seeing in terms of the skills. And almost maybe it's the sense that we haven't quite caught up in terms of the safety and in terms of how to react when that does go a bit too far. Like, we don't necessarily know how to take the sting out of a game and take the sting out of a defender if they are pushing it too far. And also how that translates to the people who are watching at home and are playing in social leagues. Like, where do you put that? When you have the same fire, you want to play in the same style that you're seeing. You want to replicate that. But, you know, it's not always the right space and the right time to do that. I know from my own games playing in regional and in London South East leagues, it's very physical. And, you know, there's often lots of tussles and people go for challenges in the air. I'm playing in the circle against, you know, these incredibly talented shooters and attackers who they're pushing back as hard as we're pushing them. And they're going for just as many challenges as we are. And there's a huge part of me that loves that. And I want that, and I want more of that, and I want to push that. So I think we have to be really careful to not kind of chastise people and players at all levels for trying to, you know, take that physicality up and elevate their own game, because I think it's something that we should be encouraging. But like you say, it needs to be done safely, and we need to know where the boundary is and make sure that everybody on the court and the officials are all on the same page in maintaining that kind of safety.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I love the increasing physicality of the game. Like, I cannot believe where netball is now versus where it was 10 years ago. Just looking at even like the athletes at their own strength, just on a very basic like visual level, it's insane how much it's improved. And I love that. I absolutely love it when I go to play as well, and I see strong women. I love supporting strong women. And I think you're totally right, like, there aren't the structures in place to actually, you know, define these lines. And it is really fine line. And like, I totally get getting heated in the moment. Like, you're passionate about the game. I'm passionate about the game. Probably everyone listening is passionate about the game. But equally, the chances are that most people listening have been injured too, and they've experienced being on the sidelines. It's rubbish. Everyone hates that. And like, that's when it is too far. And it is really, really difficult. Like, how do you define, you know, what can you do to actually make it safer? It's just such a fascinating discussion. I think the other issue that we're talking about is, again, involving Sophie Fawns, who came up against Sunshine Coast Lightning defender Kate Walsh. And there were a number of moments in that game where Walsh seemed to take it too far by pushing her hand into Sophie Fawns' face, knocking her in the head multiple times. Mm-hmm. So the issue is that Sophie Fawns, during some of those moments, was moving into Kate's space in order to create a screen for Helen Housby. Mm-hmm. And from an umpiring perspective, at least in my opinion, she was causing an offensive contact. But did she deserve to get a hand to the face? I don't think she did. Like, again, unnecessary. But the thing is, also, footage has, I've seen, like, which I had missed in the game itself, but Kate Walsh has been doing this to other players as well, where she's like knocking them in the face. Like, she did it to Gretel Boetta as well, which is another example of that type of behaviour happening on the court. So what did you think of that then, Nat?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just enjoy that these are the kind of clips that I'm now coming across on TikTok and on Twitter in a way that I never would have just, you know, happened to chance upon before. And the fact that they are blowing up and there is all this discussion about it is only a good thing. Like, I, you know, these this is all kind of indicative that the game is being discussed in a more kind of mature and engaged way than it has been in the past, I think, and hitting a wider audience who all have, you know, very strong opinions and very passionate about it. So I love that it's being discussed. On the moment itself, I think it's a you're completely right in terms of, you know, you look back and the facts are there that it was an offensive contact, and then Kate Walsh retaliated by swinging her arm into Sophie Fonte's face a number of times, which isn't acceptable. If I was doing that as a goalkeeper, my coach would be having words with me afterwards, like, check your attitude, you need to rein that in. And I think there is a difference between, you know, fighting for the ball and just fighting your player because you feel like you've been kind of aggrieved or you've had some injustice done to you as a defender. And that's not where you need to put your energy when you're a defender. If you feel like a shooter has done something wrong, your energy should be in then getting that next ball, getting that next rebound, getting that intercept, not punishing this player directly by doing the same thing back to her that you think has been done to you, because that kind of undermines the game, it undermines the contest between the two of you, and it undermines what the umpires are saying and their decisions about what's, you know, what's happened here. So I think Kate Walsh's energy was completely in the wrong place. I can understand it because, you know, it's like I would, you know, I'm sure there'd be a part of me that would absolutely want to do the same thing. And I know I've been guilty of throwing an elbow when I've just felt so frustrated and felt like I've got no other options. But it's not good gamesmanship. It's not good netball, essentially. It's kind of something that it does undermine the game. I don't necessarily think she needs to be like vilified for it or like called a bully or anything like that, or told that she's being too aggressive or too physical, because I don't think that helps. And I think particularly defenders get a really bad rap for that. You know, particularly when they're against a younger player, or, you know, people have these ideas about shooters and people who play in attack. And, you know, we can't allow our biases to kind of impact how we think about certain players on the court. So I think in that instance, it was something that probably shouldn't have happened. And everyone has, I think most people would agree that it was taken too far in those moments. It's not something we like to see. I'd much rather see Kate Walsh go out and, you know, block another another super shot like she'd done so effectively earlier in the game, or go take a really clean interception. And then if she wants to throw Sophie Fawn's a little look, like, yeah, absolutely, what are you going to do about it? Like, great, like, bring that energy, that's what I want to see. But she doesn't need to be throwing her arm in her face and chopping her in the throat like that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And the irony of it as well is that Courtney Bruce and Kate Walsh, like, are two of the best defenders in the league at the very least, let alone the world.
Yeah.
Both of them have got such incredible stats. Kate Walsh's deflections on the shot, they are so unreal. Yeah, they're so impressive. And Courtney Bruce, she's absolutely insanely good as a defender. That, like, she doesn't need to be doing stuff like that. I just think, you know, you're already good enough. And, like, the best players are those who are clean. Like, you look at selection for the Roses, which came out yesterday, and then selection for the Diamonds, which came out last week. Coaches do look very closely at players' stats and how important it is for those players to stay in play and therefore not get calls like obstruction and contact. So just be clean, because they're both good enough as it is without any of that. Like, fair enough, if you want to get in your player's head and intimidate them, do that by blocking the shot, because you're doing it already. You don't need to do any of this unnecessary additional stuff, because it is exactly that. It's totally unnecessary.
It's true.
And it's really interesting, because I was talking to one of my friends who I played netball for Ireland with, and she now works in the pathway for one of the Queensland teams. And she was just like, what does this mean for future and emerging players, both defenders and shooters? And they are taught to do that, to screen the space, to allow their shooting partner to take a cleaner shot. And again, defenders are taught to not allow that to happen. So it is this tussle that we do see, and I totally get that. But, like, what does it mean for those emerging players? What kind of behaviour are they going to be able to do? Should they expect a karate chop in the throat? Like, what does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's a really valid point. But, I think we just need to be, I think, a little bit careful when we're talking about the, you know, to not blow things out of proportion. And I think that that moment with Kate Walsh, if I'm honest, I think the reaction to it was a little bit overblown. I think that that is part and parcel of the, you know, the sport growing and there being more access to these clips and the replays and people seeing things and things blowing up on social media. And I think that actually we don't necessarily need to look at it as a kind of bigger growing problem in terms of the physicality, because I have a feeling that, you know, there's, my worry is that it will create a sense that netballers need to check their physicality in a way that would not be helpful, or to kind of limit what they can do as athletes, which I think is the opposite of where we want to go. And, you know, and I know 100% that's not at all what you're saying when you're criticizing the throat chop, and I think that's fair. But I think it's part of a wider conversation where defenders and people who play in a particularly physical style are at a higher risk of being labelled overly aggressive or bullies, which I think is very specific language that only really is applied to female athletes, and only some female athletes as well, who, you know, you've got to take into account the physical stature of some of these players as well. And it does tend to be, you know, the bigger athletes or the more overtly muscular athletes who are branded like this. And I think we just have to be a little bit careful to, I don't know, not take netball back by kind of chastising players for using all of the tools that they have in their arsenal and using all of their strength and their physicality when they're able to, as long as it's done smartly, I would say. But I think looking forward, like you said about the squads and looking ahead to the summer and the Commonwealth Games, I think players are going to have to be smarter. What do you think is going to happen when these players who've been used to playing a certain way in Suncorp come over to the UK in the summer? How do you think our officials and our umpiring style is gonna work with that? And the international umpires who will also obviously be here too.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of discussion about this. I mean, first of all, I just want to say, like, obviously, I don't condone any of the bullying that Kate Walsh has experienced. I think that's absolutely awful. And I agree with your point that the sport is growing and it is engaging more people. And that is really positive. Mm. And I think that it is important that we have these discussions because, you know, like when I saw Kate Walsh back on court this weekend, I did feel like she was somewhat subdued, like she was perhaps more careful. And I think that's only a human reaction after going through that type of experience where you are being bullied online. I really feel for her. She was really impressive with her defense, but I do feel like she was subdued. And I think it's really sad to see that. But you know, the end result that we want from this is for players to be safer. And it's something that the people who run the league do need to address themselves. There's something that needs to be done, some type of policy review, like umpiring. They do need to call these players into line and just be like, not good enough, stop doing that. And just stop it before it even becomes a thing. And I think, you know, it kind of speaks more of an issue of social media in general and the fact that people clip up 3 seconds of a game.
Yeah.
And then they brand someone a bully because of 3 seconds of something she did, which is so completely absurd. She's a talented athlete, and I think that it's unfair to judge someone based on that behaviour and brand them something as harsh as being a bully. She did something on court that I totally disagree with and many people do, but she's not a bully. And, you know, we see it all across the court, this physicality. People are competing for the ball, but it's, again, it just brings into question the line that is drawn. But going back to your question about umpiring at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, which is getting so close now, I'm so excited.
I can't believe it's come around so fast. I'm buzzing.
So stoked. Yeah, I do think that players, particularly Australian players or players who play in the Australian League, will have to adjust, because I think that the umpiring here isn't as strict as it is in the UK. You know, people said it hurt the Diamonds in the Commonwealth Games when there was that little tap on Helen and that contact call was made in the gold medal match of the Commonwealth Games because of a tap on a leg. And it was something so small, like she tapped her leg. And I'm not saying I disagree with it, because we won gold, like I'm happy about that. But you know, that's an example of like how strict it is. If someone was seen actually slapping someone, like, I mean, I would be sent off if I was doing that. I just think that, yeah, there's different standards, different rules, and players who are playing in Australia will have to adjust.
It's interesting that you say that, and to be honest, when I watched the game myself, because I saw the clip first and then I watched the replay of the full game, because I was like, I need to see this in context, like, what the hell was happening in this game? You know, even the commentators were saying that, like, surely there'll be a call, like, she, you know, she can't do that. It was so clear, and you know, the umpire was standing right there, like, you know, she couldn't have had a clearer view of what went down. And I just think that it was really quite shocking that there wasn't a call, that there wasn't a word or even a look or anything. It was absolutely completely condoned, which I think is maybe the most shocking thing of the whole incident. Like, you know, if a defender does that because she's got frustrated, like, to me, that's, you know, part and parcel of the game, particularly at that level. I can understand that. But I think, you know, if I did that, I would very much expect a call. I would expect a warning, a caution, maybe being sent off. I would expect my teammates to have a quiet word with me at halftime, like, what are you doing? And I'd expect, a stern telling off from my coach, like, that is not what we're about. So, but the key thing is that it was allowed on the court, and therefore you play the game to the umpire. Mm. So it doesn't surprise me that she did it again, because if she's being told that she's allowed to do that, why should she not do it again? I would do it again. If I know that my umpire's allowing me to put an elbow in or to, you know, block slightly with my knees or something like that, I'm not going to stop doing that because it's morally wrong or against the rules. Like, I'm going to do what needs to be done in that situation that's being allowed in that game.
Oh my God.
So, I don't know. Maybe that makes me a bad person. But I feel like a lot of defenders will agree with me. Like, you play to the umpire. And you know, it's the same goes the other way. If I'm jumping and I've got way more than 3 feet and I'm being blown for it, I adjust. I go to 4 feet and I will, you know, we'll let the umpires know by saying 4 feet, and they get very annoyed at that. But you know, you have to adjust, and we adjust both ways. If I'm being pinged, if I have my arms out, we adjust and we have to completely change our game and come off body, and that's what we do as defence. So ultimately, I think it has to come down to what the umpires will allow, and how they control the game and don't allow it to escalate like that.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely is an umpiring issue, because like, not doing anything is essentially almost endorsing it. I think a lot of people's frustration on this comes from the fact that traditionally, and like most of the time, defenders are hard done by on the court. Like, they don't get calls their way, and it's not fair. And like, I, as an objective viewer and also as an attacker, can see that. And I totally get why it's so frustrating, and therefore why, you know, it is funny that it was defenders that did this. But then we do have that historic footage of Gretel Tippett pushing Joe Weston to the floor, which is reversing the rules. Again, that's not good enough. You know, it's not like this is a new thing. This has been happening for a long time, but it's just the fact that it's reemerged and sparked such a debate that it's so fascinating. But I was going to say, like, one of the umpires, I think she's one of the head umpires, I can't remember her title, but she was speaking to Centre Court, which is one of the shows on Fox Sport here, and she said that she won't be asking players to tidy up, and that they're all about playing in the spirit of the game. They won't be telling players to stop with that behaviour. That's literally what she said during her interview when she was asked about it, which again surprised me, because I was like, how can you look back at that footage as an umpire when your job is to control the game and not call players up on that behaviour, especially when you have the benefit of hindsight and when you can see that there's a huge furore going on about it and clearly people see it as an issue? Like, that really surprises me, and this is someone who's extremely high up in umpiring. And if umpires don't see it as an issue, then where does it leave the changes to be made? Does it go down to players? Probably not. Does it go down to SSN, the league in general? Like, should they put something in place? You know, a lot of people are talking about a review policy. Do they need a review policy? Do the umpires need they already do review their games, but do they need another look at things? Like, what can actually be done to change this?
I understand what you're saying, and you know, and like you've alluded to, like, this isn't a new thing. It's not like this is something that we've never seen in netball before. Like, this happens every couple of rounds, every few games there'll be some kind of incident. It just happens that this one has blown up and restarted this conversation. But you know, it's been going on for years, particularly since the game has become so much more physical and just elevated to that next level. But that's really interesting response then from the umpire. I hadn't actually seen that. And that surprises me just as much as it surprises you. I think I would have thought that looking back, there's kind of, it's unequivocally wrong, like what happened in that situation, and that there should have been a call. It's just the inconsistency for me. Like, well, what if that's not being called, then how are you justifying the other contact calls that were given throughout the game? Because for much less, you know, and regardless of, and I think it does come down to these weird intricacies that happen in the circle quite specifically in terms of this jostling and positioning and the kind of, you know, the fact that an offensive contact took place shouldn't then negate a retaliation contact. You can't just not call either of them and say that they cancel each other out, particularly when it could potentially put someone at risk of an injury, or fuel the fire of fuel this kind of feud that's going on between two players. I think that's where, even if you're not going to call something because you think they cancel each other out, that's where I would think you'd have a quiet word and be like, goalkeeper, goal shooter, calm down, or tidy up, or whatever it is that happens to me on a regular basis in our games. We know we see that happen all the time at the level that I'm playing at. And it does help, because I think it, you know, having that quiet word or a little look from an umpire, I think can take the sting out. And, you know, you will then second guess yourself before you take it to that next level again, because there's just awareness that you're being seen, that it's been noticed, it's not being condoned, like you say. But a silence on it is condoning it, and then the fact that it was reiterated after the game that she didn't feel any need to tell players to tidy up in that instance, which is, I think, really surprising. I think a stronger review and maybe something from the league might be the answer. It definitely can't come down to individual players or teams to take that on, because they can only go by the, you know, they have to fit into the constraints and the rules in which they're playing on the court in that game. And we can't expect any more of them. We can't expect them to have this superior objective morality about the rules of netball and how they're going to play. It has to come down to what the officials are telling them. But yeah, that's super surprising. Did not expect that. I thought there'd be a kind of hands up admission, like, oh yeah, probably that should have been a call.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing, and I was really shocked when I saw this, and I was thinking, well, clearly this is an issue. But the thing also that surprises me is, you know, umpires have to go through a specific framework in order to become qualified. And why is there such a discrepancy between umpiring in the UK, for example, and in Australia? Because then it does create confusion when you have players who come from different international leagues, or players who are playing in the SSN and will represent Australia or whichever country and then play at different world tournaments like the Commonwealth Games. Like, why is there such a discrepancy? Because it just doesn't add up.
I know, and you'd think there should be some kind of standardisation, but I guess it's a culture-building thing, and it's something that is self-perpetuating within that league or within that environment that you're in. If you're in a league that becomes more and more physical, and, you know, you have to look at Australia, they have the best league in the world. As a result, they have players and athletes who are going to be the most physical, who are going to put more of themselves, more of their bodies on the line to go for challenges. And I think you've also got to concede that part of the reason why they have the best league in the world is because they have, over years, allowed more contests, allowed more things to be challenged, and allowed players to push themselves to that level, which has, you know, created some issues in some spaces, but also created this incredibly dynamic, physical, stunning game that is only getting better and better to watch. You know, I watch SSN now and I'm like, the speed of it, and it is the physicality, you know, players like Ash Brazil, like going for balls like she's on the football field, that as a wing defence, a wing attack, she has no business getting on the end of. That is something I never would have seen 10, 15 years ago watching any league in the world. So, you know, it is a balance between fostering that and making sure it is safe, and also that some countries don't have a completely different version of the game to other countries, because then when you all come together, it does cause this strange clash. But I think it's something that's not specific to netball. I know from chatting with my boyfriend extensively about football, that it's something that happens there as well. Like when they go into the Champions League, he'll be talking about the refs and oh, this is a ref from Eastern Europe, and they have a completely different style, and therefore his players are getting penalised because they're not used to that style. So I do think it's something that does just happen in sport. So I don't really know how you tackle that.
And it is so hard because at the end of the day, I'm sure Gary Burgess, the OG umpire, will certainly support this. But, you know, umpires, they're individuals. They're watching so many different movements and actions on court. It is very difficult to, you know, call everything. But that was just such a blatantly obvious one that it's like, oh, where do you go with that? And I totally agree with you. And it does speak to how amazing and what a show SSN is. It makes me proud to be a netballer. I'm like, yeah, this is what netballers can do. Like, I am proud of that because I think people turn to it who maybe haven't seen the sport, which now, thankfully, those numbers of people who haven't seen it are starting to dwindle because of the increasing popularity of netball. But people are turning to it and they are saying, like, wow, this just is incredible. It is just so fascinating, like, the entire discussion is. And we will definitely have a good look at, in Birmingham 2022 to see the repercussions. Will this actually come to light? Will the Diamonds be more heavily penalised, or even ANZ? And I definitely would encourage anyone who's listening to contact us if you want to talk about this even more. We're online at The Netball Show. And Nat, what's your handle on Twitter?
At NMoz. You can find me there.
Yeah, and I'm at Sasha Shipway. So we're all online, and like, it's such an important discussion to have. So I'd love to hear your nice, kind thoughts. Don't come for me.
Please don't come for us. But also, we definitely want to continue chatting about this. I think just a final thought from me, something that I've been thinking about a lot since this whole For Raw kicked off, was just that, like, for me, like, the physicality of the game is something that I love and I need. And it's one of, like, my favourite things about playing netball. Like, the netball court is one of the... Well, no, it's the only space in my life where I get to be a bit aggressive, where I get to let some of that out and I get to push my body in that way and square up against another athlete and jostle with them and push them around a little bit and be pushed back and hold my own. And, you know, almost every time, particularly, you know, given at the level that I'm playing at, when that happens in the circle, we're both on a level that we are, there's a mutual understanding that that's what's expected. And I think I never really encounter players who don't want that, who don't want to give as much as they get and aren't willing to do that. And I think that just the release and the freedom that I get when I play netball, when I'm allowed to be physical, when I'm encouraged to push myself like that, it's just the best feeling in the world. And I want to do everything to protect that and to allow players to feel confident still pushing themselves. I think physicality can be a good thing.
I agree. Physicality is a good thing. And I mean, why would people be on court if they're not expecting physicality? Safe physicality, I will hasten to add there. Don't chop me in the neck because I'm not going to have it.
I will concede that neck chopping is too far. I'll concede that.
Okay, so we're all for physicality. We love SSN and we absolutely can't wait for the Commonwealth Games. So let us know what you think and thank you for listening.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.